Join Bloomberg in San Francisco or virtually on May 7th for The Future Investor, Data-Powered Transformations. This 2024 event series will examine how data is not only playing a pivotal role in investment decisions, but serves as a driving force behind the construction of innovative, investable enterprises. This series is proudly sponsored by Invesco QQQ. Register at BloombergLive.com/futureinvestor/radio.
This is Bloomberg Business Week with Carol Masser and Bloomberg Quick Takes' Tim Stenovic from Bloomberg Radio.
Our next guest spoke to the board of the SEC about developing a regulation battle plan for cryptocurrencies. Nice to welcome to Bloomberg Business Week Pat LaVecchia, CEO at Oasis Pro Markets. It's a FINRA and SEC-approved digital asset broker dealer. He's also managing partner of LaVecchia Group, a privately held merchant bank. And Pat spent some 30 years on Wall Street working in investment banking and capital markets senior positions. And he joins us on the phone from Darien, Connecticut. Pat, nice to have you here on Bloomberg.
Thank you, Carol. It's a real pleasure. And if I may say, I've been a big fan of yours for years.
Well, thank you.
I listen to your program. It's always on in the background. When I'm on a call, I just think you're the best interviewer at Bloomberg. So this is a real treat for me.
Well, you're very kind. Doesn't mean I'm going to be easy on you. I'm just going to tell you.
No, it's fine.
No, I'm kidding. Thank you. You really started off my week really nicely. Take us back to the SEC. You were there, if I got it right, I think a couple of weeks ago. Tell me about that exchange and what they were trying to figure out, because I am curious about what they are thinking in terms of regulations when it comes to cryptocurrencies.
Great, yeah. Just in regards to the SEC, you know, we're in discussions with our regulators all the time.
Right.
This is really, you know, we've been spending time over the last several weeks with the innovation groups at the regulators and coming up with ideas, sharing ideas, getting their feedback, et cetera. This whole blockchain area, what we focus on is digital securities, and mm-hmm. I can talk a bit about that later, is completely new. I'd like to say that, I don't like it, but it's reality. We're a bicycle with training wheels with Ferrari brakes, which are the regulators. You know,
it's a great way of explaining it, actually.
That's where we are today. Eventually, the bicycle will become a Ferrari, but, you know, that's several years away. And so we have a lot of ideas, and the regulators know this tsunami is coming. You know, they're very focused on cryptos right now. And DeFi, or decentralized finance, we're taking it a step further and focused on digital securities, and we view ourselves as the bridge between traditional finance and DeFi. That's a direction, that's our mission statement, that's where we're heading. But they know this is coming, you know, we call it a tsunami
right.
of opportunities, and it's a tidal wave regarding what's happening in the crypto space. And they're trying to stay ahead of it. A lot of smart people there trying their best. You know, they're the guardians of our financial system at
right.
the SEC and FINRA, and they want to make sure that they get it right.
So talk to me a little bit more about digital securities, exactly what they are, what it presents in terms of opportunities for investors. Unpack it a little bit more for me, if you would, Pat.
Sure. Digital securities are very similar to traditional securities. So what we were approved for were equities, broadly defined, and fixed income for corporates, both public, non-national market securities, as well as privates. And by privates, I mean all exempt securities,
mm-hmm.
so Reg D, Reg S, 144s, et cetera. And they represent a proof of ownership of some type on the balance sheet and are an underlying asset of a company. But unlike traditional securities, they can be programmed through smart contracts to comply with regulatory requirements and standards as well. And they can be purchased and traded just like any other security, but it involves the blockchain. So it's very bespoke. It can be very tailored. But all the back office, so I'll give you an example with GameStop and the halting of trading
mm-hmm.
a couple of weeks ago. So one of the issues that have come up is it's trade plus 2 days, right? And it, you know, in the 1960s, it was, you know, it was transaction day plus 5 days.
Right.
And then in 1973, and then let's jump all the way to 1994, it became trade plus 3 days.
Right, right.
Then it took another 24 years for it to get to trade plus 2 days. And while the UI has improved, like on any trading app you might have, E-Trade, Charles Schwab, Robinhood, the back end has been improved over the years, but it's still based on the infrastructure from the 1970s. Now, what blockchain does with digital securities, it really, it's not a revolution, but an evolution
right.
of the trading system. So it's just taking it to the technology level.
Well,
zero days.
So I feel like Pat, in our talking to you, and also just some of the research I did coming into this, I know enough to be dangerous. So in terms of digital securities, I mean, you basically own an underlying asset, right? What are the advantages? Is it the liquidity aspects? Is it the security aspects? Is it that you can have fractional ownership of something that you might not have been able to own otherwise?
Yeah, absolutely. All the above. There's also the advantages. We were approved for digital cash payments for digital securities. So
right.
if you own stable coins, for instance, or eventually CBDCs. And I heard the comment earlier you had mentioned about Yellen.
Mm-hmm.
She actually, while she is not a fan of Bitcoin, she actually came out today and also said that the central bank should be looking at sovereign debt currencies issued on the blockchain. So she's not a big fan of Bitcoin, but
right.
she, in a sense, was endorsing CBDCs to a certain extent. So all those advantages you just mentioned, so if you have stable coins right now, and by that, that's like DAI or USDC or mm-hmm. Paxos, you can utilize that to purchase digital securities. And another benefit of the digital securities is, and this is unlike crypto, you've heard stories that someone had $50 in Bitcoin, it's now worth $100 million, and they can't find their wallet,
right?
So it's permanently lost. With digital securities, while the blockchain is immutable, the regulators have determined that the authoritative ledger is either the issuer or the transfer agent.
Right.
So if you own digital securities and you lost your wallet somehow, or whatever custodian was holding it, it got stolen or there was fraud, the beauty of digital securities is it could actually be burned, that mm-hmm. digital security that was stolen,
mm-hmm.
and reissued to you. So some of the disadvantages of, let's say, cryptos and DeFi are not applicable to the regulated digital security space.
The countdown has begun. This May, 1,000 global leaders will gather in Doha for the Qatar Economic Forum powered by Bloomberg, held in conjunction with our official partners, the Qatar Ministry of Commerce and Industry and Media City Qatar, and premier sponsor QNB. Join heads of state, influential ministers, and leading CEOs to make new connections and gain unique insights. Learn more at QatarEconomicForum.com.
So, Pat, where do you see it all going? I mean, you're someone who has spent a lot of time on Wall Street in different capacities, and you see, an aside, I feel like the conversation over Bitcoin, blockchain, digital currencies has definitely evolved from a couple of years ago. So where do you see this all going? Does digital securities take over from, I feel like we're doing it already, right? On some level. Like, where does this all go in terms of how we trade today, how we invest today?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. It's not if, but when.
Yeah.
And that could be 3 years away. That could be five. It could be a decade, but it's coming. And, the light was shined on me by one of my partners, Joe Quintilian, who convinced me to get involved in this about mm-hmm. 3 years ago. And I blame him. No, I'm just joking. But got involved in all this,
right.
And Greg DiPrisco as well. But it's coming, and we're already there. So it's really the back end that's getting changed, not the UI, the front end.
Right.
If you think about it, and we will get there. I mean, 3 years ago, DeFi, decentralized finance, mm-hmm. where a lot of the Ethereum projects trade, were less than $1 billion. In fact, it was like $400 million. And if you want to determine value, let's call it market cap. Today, less than 3 years later, it's over $40 billion.
Wow.
Bitcoin just surpassed $1 trillion. I think it's at $900 billion right now, or something along those lines.
Right.
But who would have guessed? I opened. I tell people this story. I really got involved about 3 years ago, but I actually opened a Coinbase account in 2014. And the only reason I know is because in 2019, I tried to open a Coinbase account, and they told me I already had one. So
it's one of those things, right?
Yep, exactly.
Well, you know, now that I, because where do you, you know, when it comes to Bitcoin, I think we're watching these levels, trying to understand it. You know, as I said, I know enough just to be dangerous. When I look at Bitcoin, it's a supply and demand issue on some level. And I do wonder how much of that is at play. I mean, how do you see it? Is it commodity? Is it currency? Is it collectible? What is it?
Great, great question. And my answer would have been different 3 years ago. But let me just say this. You know, this is a disclaimer. What I say today are my personal views. Mm-hmm. It does not constitute a recommendation or endorsement of any particular security or strategy. Now that's out of the way.
Fair enough.
In regards to...
Got it.
In regards to Bitcoin, you know, I do view it as a commodity.
Yeah.
Similar, it's an inflation hedge of sorts. But, you know, 3 years ago, it was more of a, you know, just a play, like gambling in a way. I mean, not for the believers. It was this democratization, et cetera, away from central banks. I think what's driving a lot of the interest to date is beyond Elon Musk and others making positive comments. You look at the big dogs, what I call the big dogs. You look at BNY Mellon now custodying. Mm-hmm. You look at BlackRock that's announced that two of their futures funds are buying Bitcoin. You look at the OCC, federally nationally chartered banks now can custody stablecoins. That's all happened in the last like 3 months,
which is unbelievable. Like if you get your head around that, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Morgan Stanley's come out as well, and MasterCard has come out backing.
Right.
To your earlier question, it's not if but when.
All right, just just amazing. One last question, real quickly. What kind of activity are you seeing on your platform in terms of growth?
Well, we launch in Q2, so we're launching in let's call it May or June of this year.
Okay.
I wish we had launched by now, but our tech guys keep telling me that's unrealistic. But we're going to be launching then. Our UI is going to be very similar, we hope, to what. Like a Robinhood and others have at this point in time. We're seeing a tremendous amount of interest from issuers,
mm-hmm.
both fixed income and equities. They view our ATS as an opportunity to actually access new investors who are in the who hold cryptos or stable coins.
Okay.
They're very excited about that, and institutions as well, because on the fixed income side or dividend paying side, we estimate the cost savings on the back end are anywhere between 20 basis points to 50 basis points per issuance, which is tremendous.
I was going to say, that's real money. Hey, listen, once you guys launch and everything, come back and update us. I'd love to hear more. Got to run. Pat, have a great evening, and so great to have you on. Pat LaVecchia, Chief Executive Officer at Oasis Pro Markets, joining us on the phone from Darien, Connecticut. Really interesting in terms of digital securities and the platform that they are building.
From Silicon Valley to Wall Street, the promise and perils of artificial intelligence are playing out on the world stage. But what will the next phase of AI adoption look like? Which companies, from big tech to startups, will dominate? And where do the risks and unintended consequences lie? I'm Emily Chang. Join me at Bloomberg Tech in San Francisco, May 9th, to answer many of the industry's burning questions, alongside Snap's Evan Spiegel, Xbox President Sarah Bond, OpenAI's Brad Lightcap, top researcher Dr. Fei-Fei Li of Stanford, and many more. More details and just a few tickets left at Bloomberg.com/TechSF.